This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We've got a few episodes under our belt here at the Hi, I'm Bobby podcast. And I got to tell you that it wasn't simpler to start a podcast than with Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. So let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone or your computer. Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. If this sounds amazing to you, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. I am so excited, and I hope you guys will make a podcast today.
Hi, I'm Bobby, and I'm your friend who knows just a little bit too much about pop culture. Welcome to your weekly meeting of Pop Culture Fanatics Anonymous. This week, we're having a very quick chat about franchise fatigue and all the fun things that come with it. To begin, what is franchise fatigue? Well, the concept is exactly what it sounds like. It is the general tiredness audiences experience with franchises when they release new series or movies that are related to their universe. So the reason why I'm talking about it this week is because we got a recent announcement of some new MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, spinoff series, mainly around Agatha Harkness, and then a couple of days later it was announced that Monica Rambeau would be also receiving a spinoff show was in the works for those two characters. And so that kind of drummed up some like topics of discussion around franchise fatigue when it comes to Marvel. And this is not a new concept by any means. I think Marvel is just kind of like the most dominant franchise that we have right now, but it's a very contemporary issue. Before I get into kind of the nitty-gritty of franchise fatigue, I do want to note that I love the characters of Agatha Harkness and Monica Rambeau. And I'll get into a little bit later why I have just the tiniest bit of trepidation when it comes to them receiving their own spinoff series. And it really just has to do with the amount of content that Marvel is producing at any given time. And we kind of all know that when you're working on a lot of things, it kind of becomes like a quantity over quality type of thing. So I'm not speaking from the perspective that I don't think that these characters aren't worth a spinoff show. They definitely are, especially with Monica Rambeau, who would be like a woman of color, a black woman leading a TV series. I obviously would love to see that, but my main point is that I would want to see it done well. I would want to see it have, you know, time and care and attention put to it. But like I said, franchise fatigue is a very contemporary issue within film and sometimes TV, but it's mainly film. It's been brought up a lot, especially in the age of the Harry Potters and X-Men, and now most prominently the MCU, which I mentioned, like I said, is probably the most prominent franchise that we have right now. DC, kind of, but MCU, Marvel has kind of been definitely reigning supreme, especially for the last, I would say, 5 years or so. And oftentimes, the claims of franchise fatigue are rooted in the belief that audiences only crave something new and they are somehow rejecting franchises. And I think the interesting thing about it, in doing research for this episode, and I made a TikTok video about it, If you look at how we measure success in films, which is box office sales, franchises consistently overperform. So I don't necessarily think that it's audiences seemingly wanting to reject franchises. I think that whole idea comes from cinephile art house notion that audiences don't want the base and like basic franchises and, you know, blockbusters. They crave all these new original narratives and everything like that. But let's be real, franchises work well because a lot of the times they're very universal stories with universal characters. A lot of people can relate to them, right? So it's not necessarily a bad thing that franchises exist. Literally anything in film is done for the perspective of making money. Yes, there's creativity. That is a strong part of how film and TV gets made, but the bottom line is money. So you can't say, well, franchises are money grabs. Most films are money grabs. They want people to buy tickets to see it, right? But I think audiences liking franchises is not this, like, you know, taboo bad word thing that we need to be rejecting. Franchises are perfectly fine. And honestly, they're not going to go out of style literally anytime soon. So if you're banking on the downfall of franchises, good luck, buddy, because they're not going anywhere. And honestly, franchises kind of operate on a lot of different planes. Not all franchises look like the MCU or look like superhero genre films. Like Back to the Future, that's a franchise. 3 films. Shrek, that's a franchise. 4 films. The Godfather, 3 films. Like, it's just really, franchise is just another word for a sequence of films kind of umbrellaed under one central theme or storyline or character. Like I said, if we observe kind of how we measure success in films and TV, we will see the box office numbers for franchises, any of the ones that I've mentioned, they are king, and audiences are more than willing to see a new film or watch a show that's related to that franchise. If you want a prime example of this, I have 2 for you. 1 is film and 1 is TV. Number 1 for film, The Fast and the Furious. We are rapidly approaching 10 to 11 films for that one franchise that is solely about cars, and people will still go and see them. However, there is like a little bit of a caveat there though. People are more than willing to see new films for The Fast and the Furious. But the one instance where it wasn't that successful was with Hobbs and Shaw, which was kind of going into what I'm going to be getting into a little bit later, which is where quality comes in. Yes, people like these characters, but the film, from what I've understood, I've never seen Hobbs and Shaw, so I cannot speak to whether it's faithful to the characters or to the franchise or not. But in reading, what I was finding that people, like, the problems that people had with Hobbs and Shaw was that it wasn't that much of an engaging story, even though these characters are characters that people like. So that's an example of when a franchise can start to experience franchise fatigue, is when your franchise kind of begins to dwindle with the stories that they are telling. Yes, we get that there are franchises, and Hollywood is for sure built on capitalism. We all know that. But audiences can definitely tell when there was really no thought, really no effort put into like who these characters are, how they would behave, what type of storylines they would be in. Audiences are not dumb. They can absolutely tell that type of stuff. And then a TV example that I have is Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo is a franchise that has been going strong for over 50 years. They have very formulaic plots and episode storylines. You could reiterate the Mystery Incorporated 1,000,000,001 times in a bunch of different categories. And the franchise is still going because they're following the one formula that they know works. 4 teenagers and a dog solving mysteries. If any iteration of Scooby-Doo does that, it's gonna be successful more than likely with their fans. So, like I said, audiences, they don't hate franchises. They really just want quality for the characters that they like. At least that's my perspective on it. But, you know, you can maybe think differently. That kind of ladders up to my point that franchise fatigue is really not an issue of a franchise just simply existing. It's more of an issue of quality control. Like I said, we know that the continuation of a series is almost always going to be a cash grab because Hollywood, they don't necessarily just do it for the art, they do it for the money as well. But audiences can for sure tell when a series is only continuing for the sake of money and they have zero regard for the characters or their storylines. A really strong example, at least from in, I would say, the past 10 years or so, is Men in Black. So there are four films in the Men in Black franchise. But the fourth one, which is Men in Black International, starring Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth, kind of tanked at the box office. And it was because it was seen as a franchise that was kind of a cheap nostalgia grab. Like, the franchise had been kind of like, I won't say dead, but it wasn't relevant anymore. And so they came out with a random fourth series that doesn't really star any of the original cast. People weren't drawn to it because they had no interest in being drawn to it. It was a franchise that was kind of out of sight, out of mind for a very long time. Franchises like Marvel, and here lately I would say DC, even though in the beginning they weren't quite, I think people kind of experienced franchise fatigue with DC early on when they kind of had bad film after bad film, and I think they're kind of beginning to gain some footing about how they want to tell their stories, but that's the story for another day. I think Marvel has been kind of able to beat these franchise fatigue allegations for more than a decade, and that really comes from the fact that they've been very calculated with the story that they're intending to tell. And that is how people don't really get tired of Marvel films. So it's like I said, it's less of a quantity thing and more of a quality thing. We all know that Marvel's long form storytelling is nothing short of historic, in that you're tying together 20 plus films under one large overarching story, which is a Herculean feat, if nothing else. But that's kind of what has been something that Marvel has been able to do very, very effectively. And now, this isn't to say that every single film or series that comes from Marvel or franchises like it is going to be well regarded. It's similar to the Fast and Furious reference. Like, Hobbs and Shaw really wasn't that great of a movie, but for those who like the Fast and Furious franchise, they're kind of okay with one film not being great, but the other ones being in line with how the previous films have gone, and they don't really get tired of the franchise. Maybe we, as non-Fast and Furious or non-Marvel people from the outside looking in, might get tired of it, but fans more than likely will not. But this whole thing is to say that there is kind of one factor that can really massively complicate franchise fatigue as a concept, and to me that is timing. So I think a lot of the concerns that people had with the new Agatha show and the new Monica Rambeau show that is in development right now, I would say for the most part is less to do with the characters, even though, like I said, caveat, there are people who just are misogynist jerks who don't like these characters for whatever reason. So I think it's less to do with the characters, because those were two characters from WandaVision who people really, really enjoyed and I think would like to see a spinoff narrative for. But I think that some concerns around the announcement, in tandem with every couple of months we seem to be getting the next, you know, 10 to 20 pieces of media coming from one studio, I think this year was a good example of where these concerns were coming from, because we had two films and three TV series condensed into one year. Now, be it because of COVID, they kind of had to push up timelines and push back things, and that kind of complicated the whole matter. That I definitely understand. But that is a lot of content coming from one studio about one overarching storyline in one year. The great thing about Marvel before was that each year you had a new movie. Before the TV shows were canon, you had a new movie to come out every single year, and you had a year to digest what you were seeing. So yeah, you couldn't get tired of it, because it was going to be a whole other year before you saw the next addition to the franchise. But when they kind of condense that timeline and they're giving you two movies and three TV shows, people are like, okay, that's a lot. That's a lot for me to take in. around the storyline that I care about, but this is quite a bit of content. Going back up to my point about timing with everything, I think my main concern and kind of the concerns that I've been hearing across a couple of different platforms with these new shows, especially with shows that center characters that a lot of us really enjoy, like Agatha and Monica, is that, like I said before, when a studio is pushing out all this content so quickly, quality control is going to waver, whether people like it or not. Quality control is going to waver, and oftentimes a drop in quality really comes at the expense of stories that center marginalized groups. When you condense everything down for the sake of pushing content out to constantly be top of mind for people, the quality is going to kind of be a little bit shaky. And if nothing else, would I love to see an Agatha show? Absolutely. I want to see what they are going to do with her character beyond just WandaVision or beyond wherever other like show or movie she's going to end up in. But I just want them to do right by it. That's it. Do right by her. Give it the time and quality that it needs. I don't think anyone's going to forget Agatha as a character, especially because she was so central to WandaVision. I don't think anyone's going to forget her character if they take the time to develop the series in the way that it needs to be developed and to kind of space things out again. Like, I don't think I need to see a new release every single month because it's just a lot to keep up with. But some people, I will say, I'm not going to yuck your yum. Some people really enjoy it and they don't really see an issue with it. And I think both can kind of exist at the same time. Overall, I think franchise fatigue is definitely a thing, but I think it can manifest in ways beyond what a lot of people may know it to be defined as. Being fatigued with media is an absolute thing, franchise or not. So, thank you for joining me on this kind of, you know, quick little deep dive. I was traveling on Wednesday, so this is being put up and recorded on Thursday, and my flight got delayed a couple of times, so this was supposed to go up on Wednesday, but because my flight got delayed and I didn't get back to New York until late at night, here we are doing it the next day, so I deeply apologize about that. We will be, again, back on track, hopefully Wednesday, with a new podcast episode. Like I always say, after every single episode, I would love to hear from you. In a description of each and every episode, you will have the option to send me a 1-minute audio message. It could be a hot take. It could be a response to something that I said. It could be a question. It's really up to you. Of course, please keep it respectful. And if an audio message is really not your thing, that's totally fine. You can shoot me a DM over on Instagram at The Afternoon Special or over on Twitter at Hi, I'm Bobby. I hope you enjoyed this week's chat and that you'll join me again next week for another pop culture deep dive. Later days, friends.
Hi, just checking in and seeing if you might want to step away from the noise of the world for just a moment and connect back to you. If so, join me on my podcast, Letting It Settle with Michael Galyon, where we'll explore mindfulness, self-love, and personal growth as I share practical insights and tools to hopefully help inspire you to start to take charge of your mental and emotional well-being. Search for Letting It Settle with Michael Galyon on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening now.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.